God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful to you for how you have led us over the several months and weeks that we have been walking through Kingdom Lifestyle. We thank you for this last chapter that we are starting today. We are grateful to you for all that you have opened our eyes to see, that you have spoken to our hearts in the various ways, and for all our brothers and sisters, disciples scattered all over the nations that have followed this over and over again. Now, Lord, as we press on to drawing conclusions from this Sermon on the Mount that you sat down to teach, we ask, Lord, that you will continue to bring finality to our spirits. We are praying that you finalize your dealing with our lives in such a way, O God, that will be wise for the studies we have taken. Lord, we pray that as we go on today, you give us strength, you give us wisdom, you give us insight into your word. Thank you for all the brothers that are assisting us and our sisters that are reading. We ask that you strengthen each one of us. Thank you for hearing our prayer today. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We have come in the course of our study to chapter 19 of the Kingdom Lifestyle that we started over several months now. And we are coming to the final chapter. And that chapter has been titled as Standing Against the Storms of Life. Standing against the storms of life. We noted that Jesus Christ sat on the mount and he opened his mouth and taught them. And the teachings he gave without any interruption is what we have continued to study for this past over 1 year that we have been doing this particular Kingdom Lifestyle. Now, today, as we now come to the final point, we saw the Lord Jesus coming passionately to speak to his disciples on how to stand against the storms of life. And we are going to actually return to the book of Matthew that we have been studying, and we are picking the last three verses of Matthew chapter 7. Those are the things we want to read. But let me read the introduction to the chapter before we go ahead. This is the last of the instructions given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in his teaching, popularly called the Sermon on the Mount. It is an instruction emphasizing the importance of paying close attention to hearing and obeying all he has said before and what he will still say to them and to us by and by. It is certain that every one of us will face storms in life. What determines whether our lives and whether we are building what we are building withstand life trials or not is the subject of this study today. My prayer is that the Lord who directed you to go through this study with us will speak directly to you and encounter you particularly in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we draw these conclusions with what the Lord himself began to say, I would like us to take our main text for today That will be Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. We'll be asking our sister Natalie from Belize to read Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27 for us. And then Sister Priscilla from Canada, you'll be helping us to pick Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49. Let's try to get into the scriptures. Matthew 7.
Matthew 7, 24 to 27 from the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall."
Great was the fall of it in the Old King James language. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49, Sister Priscilla.
Luke 6, 47 to 49 from the New King James Version reads, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great."
And the ruin of that house was great. Thank you very much. We want to first look at the open invitation that the Lord Jesus gave at the beginning of these passages we are reading. The fact that the Lord makes this condition open to everyone. When he said, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings," in Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Now, he had been teaching the same kind of people, the same set of his disciples. Now, he came to that verse 47 and said, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." I will show you what kind of person that person is. "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you what kind of person that person is like." So the first thing we are dealing with is the fact that that passage started by saying, "Whosoever." You will see that in chapter 7 of Matthew also, said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." And we thought that that's the first beginning of our study today, an open invitation to whosoever. It looks as if anyone who has either come to listen to the word of God, or whosoever will ever come to Jesus to hear him, there's something that we can see in those lives. So let's begin by taking the first part of that. What does that teach us about the right way to begin building anything in life? What does that teach us about the right way to begin building anything in life? Now, we'll go back to our scriptures and we'll pick it again Now, Brother Clarence, you will help us to pick Psalm 127, and we're reading verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. And then Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, Sister Natalie. And then 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4, Sister Priscilla. Then John 6, 37, will return to Brother Clarence again. Let's try and see how we can build on this.
Yes, sir. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain."
But in vain. Thank you. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7.
Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, New King James. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil."
Right. Thank you. And 1 John 5, 4.
1 John 5, 4 from the New King James reads, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
Thank you. Clarence, would you like to pick 6:37 from John?
Yes, sir. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out."
All right. Thank you very much. Now, the first issue that we are noting about whatever you want to build in life, and from the passages that we are beginning to see, "Whosoever comes to me." First and foremost, we saw that Psalm 127 says, unless or except the Lord builds the house, or unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor to build it, they do so in vain. And unless the Lord watches over a city, even the watchmen that are keeping night vigils, they do so in vain. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's the first matter that is striking. That whatever you intend to build in life, whatever you want to build concerning your destiny, unless the Lord is the one that you allow to guide you or build it, the Bible is saying that you are only laboring in futility. Whatsoever God has not built, when the storms of life come, when the rains will descend, it will collapse. It will be a labor in futility. And we saw from that scripture that even if you are very sensitive and you are really keeping, you know, vigils upon your life, upon what you are trying to put together, if the Lord does not watch over that city, the Bible said, they that the watchmen, they only labor and they watch in vain. This is what we are noting from that scripture. So I want you to mark the word "except the Lord." Except the Lord. If the Lord will not build for you, all the things you are building, they are definitely going to collapse when the storms of life comes. Now, the other scripture says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's what Proverbs 3 that Natalie had helped us to read. That's what he brought forth. In all your ways, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All we are saying is that even if you thought you know what to do, if you lean on your own understanding, the future that is not in your hand will embarrass you. Because what you know presently is only your past. All the knowledge you have here is about experience. What you already have in past. You don't know what lies ahead. You have no experience of the future at all. So, and if you are building for a future, and you will not allow God, who sees the end from the beginning, to help you build, again, I dare say that your labor, again, is going to be in futility. I wish whosoever is hearing me will recognize that the way in which to build against the storms of life is to first and foremost start with God, build with God, and let the Lord guide you. Lean not unto your own understanding. And that beautiful passage that we read said, whatsoever is born of God is that which overcomes the world. Say, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you intend to be able to stand against storms of life, then you need to, whatever you are building must be born of God. It must originate in God. It must be conceived in God and by God. Which means then that the first invitation that God gives to any of us is that invitation of whosoever comes to me. Whosoever comes to take bearing with me. Whosoever comes to take instruction from what I have to say. That is the man, that is the woman who is likely to build and build for a future that can stand. Now, I want you to know that what we are talking about today is not just about one physical house you are building. We are talking about building your life, building your destiny, building a future. Actually, building an eternity. And if you are going to live beyond where you are now, if you are going to experience something beyond the past that you already have, then I want to ask you to respond to that open invitation. Whosoever comes to me. And the word whosoever simply means whosoever at all comes to me. And I love the way the Word of God put it. I see whether you are educated or you are not, whether you are rich or you are not, whether you are an old person or you are a young person, the matter is whosoever. Which means any one of us can actually live and build a life that can withstand the storms of life. Now, let me ask Sister Natalie to help us read the summary under that section before we go ahead.
Yes, sir. Building is a project and it involves a process. It involves the time and the life of the builder. Incidentally, our lives and our times are not in our hands, but in the hands of the Lord. Mm. And except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that built it. Wisdom demands that we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways and decisions and allow him who knows all things and can do all things to direct us. The only wise thing to do before doing anything is to come to the Lord and hear him over the matter. Mm. When you do whatever he says to you, it means your decision is born of God. 1 John 5:4. and it will surely overcome whatever storms may face you as a result.
Mm.
What is your experience in this? Do you acknowledge the Lord before you take any decision? Or is it only a big matter that you care enough to involve Him? Do not take things for granted. You may be building your life on sand without knowing.
Hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The first thing that was striking is that building is a project and it involves a process. It doesn't just spring up like that. There is a plan. There is a design. There is a process. Just as it happens in physical building, so it happens also in life building. And so we are noting that if we are going to build our life correctly, we must come to the Lord in whose hands our lives and our times are. And except the Lord helps you build, your labor, like I kept saying, may just be in vain. Now, if we will need to first lean not on our own understanding, that invitation of saying, come to the Lord, and let Him speak to you over any matter, any decision you want to take. And if a matter originates from God, that is born of God, as you listen to Him, as you wait at His feet, then we are sure that it will overcome whatever storms may come as a result. Now, today we want to go further now. Let's look at what is the significance of hearing Jesus in building our lives and our decisions. What is the significance of hearing Jesus in building our lives and our decisions? Maybe before we go to pick all those scriptures, I want you to keep our main text at the back of your mind, the Matthew chapter 7 that we have been reading, and the Luke chapter 6 that we have referred to. Say, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood came, or flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, that passage, we're going to come on it over and over again. But let's first take note, what is the significance of hearing Jesus in building our lives and our decisions? Now, let's start with Priscilla. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15 to 17. Sister Natalie. Romans 10, verse 14 to 17. And Brother Clarence, Matthew 11, verse 15, can we try?
In Matthew 13, verses 15 and 17, it says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see that their eyes and their ears, sorry, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it."
Thank you. Romans 10, 14 to 17.
Romans 10, 14 to 17. Says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Matthew 11:15
says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Mark 4:24, who is reading that for us? Who can quickly catch it? Mark 4:24, Sister Priscilla.
Yep. Mark 4:24 says, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given.
Thank you. Now, we're trying to look at what is the significance of hearing Jesus in building our lives and our decisions. Now, you know, there are all the four passages that were raised, they had very critical significance that I want us to quickly take one after the other. The first thing I saw as we look at Matthew 13, I want you to all come back to Matthew 13 for me. And let's pick verse 15 and pick verse 16 and pick verse 17. Now, in verse 15, he began by saying, for these people's heart is become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. They have closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Now, the first point that I'm noting here, if a man will ever have a clear understanding, and his life will be converted or properly adjusted, if he is going to be properly reset on his path, he needs to hear. And so one of the things that the devil does in order to derail many people, so that when storms of life come to them, they have no capacity to stand at all, is to block their ears from hearing, is to make their heart to become gross, and to make their ears dull of hearing, so that their eyes will not be open to see the direction they should have gone. Jesus said, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart. If a man will not have an understanding heart as regards the purpose of God for his life, definitely he will be building wrongly. If a man will not hear what Jesus is saying, his eyes are closed, definitely he will grope in darkness. Definitely he will be, you know, just beating here and there about the bush. So we saw that the need of hearing Jesus in building our lives, is to give us understanding, is to give us direction, is to give us light. He said, but Jesus was speaking to these disciples, he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you are hearing, but you have not heard them. It's a great opportunity for Jesus to be available to speak to our lives. It's a great opportunity for you to have an hearing ear that God can speak to you in guiding your life. And to me, I want to say that this is the privilege of being a disciple. When in Mark chapter 4, the disciples came and said, why do you talk to them in parable? He said, to them, everything is done in parable because in hearing they will hear, but they will not understand. It is this kind of thing that Jesus was saying. That's why they cannot hear. But he said, but to you it is given to understand the things, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, as a disciple already, you have the privilege of hearing the word of God, of hearing Jesus speak into your lives, in building a proper foundation, and in setting your life in a correct direction that have been enlightened by the word of the Lord. But when we come to chapter 10 of Romans, chapter 10 of Romans raised one more issue that I thought we should highlight because that's very critical. In chapter 10 of Romans, and from verse 14, he noted a few things that I want to also highlight quickly here. He said, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes, and it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we already said that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But how do you grow a faith that can withstand storms of life? It only comes by hearing. By hearing what Jesus has to say to your life. It is as we listen to the word of God that faith rises in us. It is as we listen to what God says that we get to know him and we get to respond to him and believe in what he says. And because faith is what will give you victory, those that overcome the world is not because of their energy, it's not because of their strategy, but because of their faith in the crucified. I want to put it to you. If you don't hear Jesus, if you don't spend time to come and listen to what he has to say and for you to do them, then there is no ground for this overcoming faith to be formed in you. This faith that can withstand storms of life, there's no way in which it can be developed inside of you. But you know, Matthew 11, verse 15 was speaking in the same vein of the Matthew 13 that we read before and Mark 4. Now it says in Matthew 11, verse 15, it says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. It's a privilege to have an ear that hears. And I want to say to you that if God has brought you, one of the first things he does is to open your ears so that you can hear what he has to say. If a man will not hear God, he cannot build a life that can withstand the storms that comes along the way. But in Mark chapter 4, I would like us to quickly read Mark 4. And I want someone to help me read that from the Amplified Version. Mark chapter 4. If you have an Amplified, that would be great. Mark 4, verse 24 is what we want to read. Is there a classic Amplified Bible you can read for us?
Hey, I think I do.
Yes, yes,
brother. Let me just, we'll try this. Mark 4, 24 says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure or virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear.
So be careful what you are hearing. Be careful, pay attention to the things that you are hearing. Say the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you are hearing, it's the same measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Which means the word of God, when you listen, when you hear the Lord teach you, it deposits virtue in your life, particularly if you pay attention to it. If you take heed to the things you are hearing, it will bring back to you a measure of virtue and knowledge. And it will prepare you for the days ahead and for the things that God will want you to do. I would like us to, again, pick the summary from that portion. Let's ask Priscilla to read that summary for us at this point.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the Lord and building our lives produces faith in us to receive further from God the wisdom, grace, and all other physical and spiritual resources needed to successfully complete the building. It also brings hearing to our lives when needed. As we pray or study and hear God's word, He speaks to us. We should, however, not only take time to hear the Lord over every issue, but pay attention to the measure of times, attention, etc. we give in hearing from the Lord. The same measure we use is what the Lord will use to measure back to us in terms of instructions, grace, etc.
Thank you very much. Sisters and brothers, please take note that faith comes by hearing. And it comes by hearing by the word of God. Hearing the Lord in building our lives is what produces in us the kind of faith that will release to us wisdom, grace, and all the other physical and spiritual resources that you need, even for your journey in life. The attention you give to hear God, I want to say to you, it's a great investment in the things that God wants to do with your life and in the way in which God wants to move with you. And the measure of thought and study you give, the Bible says, is the same measure of virtue, the same measure of knowledge, the same measure of grace that God will be measuring back to your life. Now, I'm going to ask us to take that number C. That would have been a practical discussion if we were in our classes. What are the things we normally labor to build in life, physically and spiritually? What are the kind of things that we are always wanting to build in life, physically and spiritually? We know that such things include physical houses. We want to build business. You want to build your career. We want to build our marriages. You want to build your children. You want to build relationships. You want to build on your decisions. You want to build even on our calling or the ministry or the local church that God has given you. Right. Each of these things that we want to build requires and demands that we go to the Lord first and to continually hear Him over the matter and do what He says. If our lives and our careers, our homes, our children, if it will be able to stand even the storms that will of necessity come against us. All I'm saying is that whether it's career, whether it's your business, whether it's your house, whether it's your marriage, whether it's the children, whether it's the ministry to which God has called you that you are desiring to build, each of these requires that we should go and hear what the Lord will have to say. Say, whosoever comes to me and hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken you to a man who has dug a deep foundation for his life. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what have you been laboring to build in your life? Have you consulted Jesus about it? Is he the foundation? Is he the author? Is he the originator of it? Or is he just one of the counselors and invitees to what you build? Have you come to Jesus? So the issue I'm raising is this open invitation. Whosoever shall come to me and hear my saying and do them. It's a very great open invitation, and I pray that you will take advantage, that you don't have to build further in life without coming to the Lord. You don't have to keep laboring in vain when God is waiting to guide you and give you a clear direction. Now, let's quickly discuss the importance of doing what Jesus says to you. What is the importance if you hear him? Because that scripture says, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them. We want to look at what is the importance of doing what Jesus says to you to do. Let's go quickly to look at Matthew 7:21. Let's ask Sister Natalie to start with that. And John chapter 2 from verse 1 to 8, Brother Clarence. James 1 verse 21 to 25. Sister Priscilla, and then we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Sister Nantley again, and then Luke 11:28, Brother Clarence. Let's try. Matthew 7:21.
Matthew 7:21, New King James says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven."
That's good. That's good. John 2, 1 to 8.
John 2, verses 1 to 8 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, what I have to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.' His mother said unto the servants, 'Whatever he saith unto you, do it.' And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 to 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast.' And they bear it."
Thank you very much. If we have space, we could have just read the whole chapter. Can you just finish and read up to verse 11?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
"When the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine that was made, wine, but knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men were well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now."
Until now. Thank you. Now, can we pick James 1, 21 to 25 now, Sister Priscilla?
James 1, 21 to 25 says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Amen.
This one will be blessed in whatever he does. Right? 10:4, 2 Corinthians 10:4, and verse 6. Yes.
4 and 6, okay. 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." And 6, "And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled."
Thank you very much. And Luke 11:28. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it."
Wow. The first thing is that God does not honestly appreciate just hearing. If you hear and you have not acted, the Bible says you have deceived yourself, according to James. So it's like a man comes, he said, "Whosoever heareth these things of man does not do them." It's like a man who has come to check himself in the mirror. Straight away he goes his way, he forgets the manner of person he was. The word of God is like a mirror. When you come to it, one hand on the mirror, one hand on yourself to make the adjustment. And if you need your two hands to make the adjustment, then you put the mirror on the wall. That's how you use mirror. Now, the Bible is saying that the word of God is like a mirror. And if you are going to ever benefit from it, as you are hearing, you must be ready to obey. So he said, "These people call me Lord, Lord, and they honor me with their mouth, but their heart is from me. They are not doing the will of the Father from heaven." So, as we look at John chapter 2, what a great illustration. The mother of Jesus knew and said to his disciples and said, "Whatever he says to you, just do it." The mother of Jesus knew that if you will simply obey what Jesus said to you, there's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a way out. He knows what to do, but he will not do it unless you obey him. Obedience to the word of God is very critical in building a life that will withstand the storms that comes with it. So we are noting here that if a man will listen to the word of God, will look into the perfect law of liberty and will obey it, or will act on it according to scriptures, that man shall be blessed in all he does. He shall be blessed in his deeds. Which means obedience to the word of God is a key to success. God told Joshua, I said, "This book of the law will not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do whatever is written therein. Then you will have good success." To have good success in life is to hear God first, and to go beyond hearing, but to go to the point of doing, of listening, of obeying what God has said to be done. Now, I would like us to pick the summary, and Brother Lewis, Clarence, you are going to help us read the summary under that section as we go ahead.
Yes, sir. Obedience is the key of getting God to be on your side. When you obey whatever the Lord says to you, a door is open to you into the kingdom of heaven. Then heaven and heavenly resources are put at your disposal to accomplish what you are building and to fight for you in times of rain, storms, and winds. You will be blessed in whatever you do as you obey the Lord's instructions to you. But when you neglect God's instructions and follow the inclinations of your heart, You will build something, but surely whatever you build will not be able to withstand the storms of this life.
Mm-hmm.
Great shall be the fall of your building.
Of your building.
May the Lord, yes, may the Lord grant you understanding. Amen.
This is very critical. The word of God that we obey is what gives a firm foundation for whatever we want to build in life. And so as disciples, after Jesus had taught, he now said, whosoever among you heareth these things of mine and doeth them, you are laying a solid foundation for the future. That's why I've been referring back to the Luke chapter 6. It says, like a man who has dug a deep foundation for his life. He had dug a foundation that will make him unshakable and unremovable. But if a man hears the word of God and does not obey it, the Bible says, it's like a man who has built his house upon sand. When the rains descended, when the storm arose, when the wind blew, it blew on that house. And the Bible said, great is the fall of that house. May God help each one of us as we go ahead today in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we still have some good space. Let's go to number two. We now want to look at the two hearers of God's word as analyzed for us in the passages that we have been reading. Let's go back to the passages we have been reading. We are looking at the two hearers of God's word. Let me ask that we first again return to that Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49. Luke 6, 47 to 49. It will be important for all of you to open it and mark it out, because we will be looking at it more closely. Whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. It's like a man who has built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth against the stream, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The ruin of that house was very terrible. Now, let's quickly note that Jesus does not celebrate just the fact that you heard him. So it is not the huge crowd that are listening to preachers that matters. What matters to God is who does what I say, who has believed and acted on what God is saying. They are the ones that we are talking about here. And it is this category of people that hear the word of God and does not do it. They are the casualties you see on the road. They are the people that they are complaining as if God has failed them. But it is simply because unbelief and disobedience have trapped them in their wilderness of life. Unbelief, because once you start doubting God, once you don't take God by his word, you're already in the desert. You're in the confusion. You're in confusion. You can't go beyond that. Can't become anything anymore. He said, when the wind now comes and when the rains descend and the stream beat vehemently on that house, the Bible said, it fell and great was the fall of it. Now, we want to quickly pick that scripture and look. It said, one category hears God's word and does obey it. The other category hears the word of God, but does nothing about it. Note, however, that both categories hear the word. The differences lie in the action taken about what you have heard. To which category do you belong? So we are noting here very clearly that yes, in every congregation there are these two classes of men. Those who hear the word of God and they go quickly to act on it. And those who hear the word of God, they procrastinate their action until they have forgotten it. Because the word of God that you have not obeyed, that you have not acted upon, has no benefit for your life in any way. It cannot help you, cannot make you anything. It will only make you litter around as mere men, mere nonentity. Because the word of God that will have set you free, that will have set you on course, that will have made you to be fulfilled in life, is what you have ignored or what you have neglected. Let's take number 2B and see how far we'll go with that. Number 2B. Why does one category wise? What makes the one category wise and the other foolish in this parable? Let's go over it again. We are now reading Matthew 7:24 from verse 24 to 27. Can I ask Natalie to pick that for us?
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Mm. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Mm. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Thank you. Now, the first issue that was very serious here was the way Jesus said, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them is a wise man. Whosoever heareth these things of mine and does not do them is a foolish man. That's the first thing that was striking to me. That God looks at you as foolish, not because you didn't go to school, not because you did not have high degrees. He sees you as foolish because even though you hear the word of God, you have not obeyed. You have not acted on it. You've never done it. And he said, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I already liken him to a wise man. Which means what makes any man foolish or wise is his attitude to the word of God. If the word of God is not the kind that you have kept in your heart in obedience and you are acting on it, honestly, whatever you are doing will still paint you at the end as a foolish man. But if any man heareth these things of mine and doeth them, the Bible says, I would liken him to a wise man. So we want to look at what is the wisdom of the wise man that we are talking about. Let's discuss the wisdom of the category of men and women that God is saying they are wise. And let's see the foolishness of the foolish one. Can we try? Let's read Proverbs 3:5 to 7 again. We read it before, but when you are doing Bible study like this, you go over scriptures over and over again until you can trash all the issues therein. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7.
I'll read that.
Yes, Brother Clarence.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. Mm. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Fear the Lord. Because another scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If a man will hear the word of God and he will not obey it, he's a foolish man already. You don't need to do anything else to be foolish. You don't need to be involved in anything else to be foolish. It's just to hear the word of God and not obey it. And not walk in the light of what you have heard. Now, but we are looking at how the word of God is saying, lean not on your own understanding, because your understanding is dark. Even when you think you have an understanding, it cannot be comprehensive. Because God, who saw the end of your life from the beginning, who knows your life and times, is saying, wait. It's just wisdom for you to wait. Now, let's look at Proverbs 1:7. Sister Priscilla again.
Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The knowledge of the holy, we are told, is understanding. So if a man will invest himself seeking the Lord to know him, to walk in his will, you will see that that man is being accelerated in great wisdom, because he has discovered what is the essence of being a wise man. Let's read Proverbs 1:24-33. We have read Proverbs 1 verse 7 before. Let's now go to 24 to 33.
Proverbs 1:24-33. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, when your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge.
They hated knowledge and did not choose
the fear of the Lord.
Mm.
They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell
safely. Whoever listens to me
will dwell safely.
Yes.
And will be secure without fear of evil.
Whosoever hearkens unto me, whosoever listens to me, will dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. There's no threat that will come upon you when you have become to walk in the light of the word of God, when you have started to obey God and do what he has told you to do. Right? Hebrews 11:6, it says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Let's go to that Proverbs 29:11. Psalm 14:1 simply said, I will just read Psalm 14 so that you can go to Proverbs 29 for us. Let's read Psalm 14. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Yes. When a man has not acknowledged God in his heart, he's a fool. So let's know that our definition of a wise and fool is just on this matter. You are either hearing the word of God and obeying it, then you are a wise man, building your future, particularly on the rock. But if you are the one that hears the word of God, and instead of obeying it, you decided to be prophesying and be sending to people here and there, what has not happened in your life, then you are an hypocrite and you are a fool according to the word of God. Proverbs 29, verse 1. That's where we are going to now stop. 29:1.
Yes, sir. Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy."
And that without remedy. So let's note now that any man that hears the word of God and you are not obeying it, you are not acting, you are procrastinating and all of that, you are not preparing yourself for the future. You are a fool according to the word of God. And those who hear the word of God and obey it diligently, they act on the word of God as they are hearing it. They don't say, okay, next year I will do it. Today God has spoken to you. You rise up to obey it. When you are a man like that, Jesus said, you are wise. Because no matter the storms that come, the Lord will be an anchor for your life. The word of God will hold you, and your life will be correct all the time, and God's presence will come to you. Thank you very much. Now, let's pick the summary under that number B as we go ahead today. The summary.
It is wisdom to put aside your own wisdom and follow the instructions of the Lord, an only wise God. When you do so, you will certainly receive what God has promised, because God watches over his word to perform it. He is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. The other man is foolish because he had the privilege of hearing instructions, yet he did nothing about it. That will bring him sudden destruction. Calamity will surely come upon him and his building, and that without remedy. How and on what have you been building your life, your home, your children? Could it be that your present trouble in life and in your home are the result of your disregarding God's instructions on these issues? Do you keep going on in your mistake? You can still turn it over to Jesus and follow him on in obedience henceforth. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that summary. A man is a fool who has not learned to put aside his wisdom to learn the wisdom of God. A man becomes a fool when you have had the privilege of hearing instructions, and yet you have done nothing about it. A man is a fool when, instead of coming to learn God's word that will give you wisdom, you keep making trial and error. You keep investing millions and nothing will come out of it because you have decided not to acknowledge the Lord. Now we are going to go quickly to look at that number C. Number C says, why, in your own understanding, do we also often act foolishly in response to the word of God that we hear? Why is it that naturally you don't obey the word of God? You're like, okay, I will hear him again, I'll come again. And so for years, you are filled with knowledge that has not become part of you. You are filled with knowledge that has not descended into your heart at all. So we are saying that for you to be a wise man, What Jesus says is very critical. It is to take heed to the word of God. It's like you are building, you are digging deep a foundation that cannot be shaken. And this is true for some of us that by the grace of God, we have walked with God for this many, many years. I can tell you that when you obey God, when you obey His word, there is joy. That hymn writer says, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus except to do what? To trust and to obey. Now we're going to, yes, that's instruction is saying we should discuss practically as if there are issues that we need to raise in each of these passages. And it's saying we have to discuss it practically as much as God will permit us. I think let's try. We still have some good space of time where we can take that before we stop for now. Let's discuss practically. What is the practical thing that we could pick from Mark chapter 4, verse 16 to 19? Mark 4, 16 to 19. Let's ask Priscilla to help us read that. Mark 4, chapter 4, and verse 16 to 19. Can we try it?
Mark 4, 16 to 19 says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and cares of the world, of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful."
Thank you very much. Now, before we take the second passage, can we look at that? That someone had the word of God preached, the seed that could produce great, great harvest was cast into his life. But it didn't profit him. Didn't profit him. Look at what the Bible said. It said, "This man has heard the word of God, the seed had been cast into his life, but it was sown." No, verse 15 said, it was like the word that was sown into his heart. When they have heard, instead of then obeying, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it's like they have a roadside heart. Sometimes you hear God, but instead of the word of God to mix with faith in your heart to give you result, you allow Satan to trample on it and to come and pick it up. And so before you know it, you say, "Yes, that man preached, man preached. What did he say?" Satan has taken it away from you. When the word of God is not allowed to take root, whatever you are building, Satan is going to come and trample on it. Satan, the wicked one, will trample on what you are putting together if you will not deliberately give attention to the word you hear. He said the other person is the one that heard the word of God as if on a stony ground, on a stony heart. He received the word with gladness. He was excited when the word of God was preached. But you know, the truth is that he has no depth. There's no soil, there's no depth in which the word of God could be buried. Now, so if you are hearing the word of God and you are only excited about hearing it, oh, you are so happy, oh, this is a great teaching. But you have not a space to receive it in. And you know, it's a very big problem now that you go to many churches, when the word of God is preached, instead of people to assimilate it, to receive it, to bury it in their heart until it produces results, they are busy retorting it out. They say, yes, preach it, man of God, preach it. Tell them they are not serious. Now, God is speaking to you, but you are refracting it somewhere else. You are claiming as if you have heard very well. That's not how to progress with the word of God. It will not grow that way. You may be happy, you may be excited, but happiness and excitement is not what we are talking about. We are talking about a future that will stand the test of time. A future that will withstand the storm of life. So the word of God should be received. Yes, you can be happy, you can be excited, but beyond excitement, the word of God must be implanted on your heart, implanted on your life, and you must be deliberate about it. You must be ready to persevere with it so that it can produce results. Now, look at verse 18. He said, and that verse 17 said, he received the word of God with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a little time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the sake of the word of God, immediately they are offended because they have no root in themselves. They have no root. The word of God has not taken root in them. So it could not produce the kind of result. They were offended because when the wind came, it blew it off. There's nothing to anchor their lives on. Now, there are others that have heard the word of God, but it is in a choked among thorns. The Bible says among thorns. The Bible said, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Many times you want to hear the word of God, but there are conflicting issues. There are so many cares, so many desires to do something else. And so anxiety will not allow the word of God to take root in you. They choke the word of God. And when the word of God is choked, it cannot produce results. It can't get anything out that you need, particularly at this point. Now, but when you look at that verse 20, verse 19 said, the cares of this age, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So to hear the word of God, you need to clear all the thorns, all the anxieties, in fact, the ambition, the desire to be rich. It's a deceitful thing that will not allow you to focus on what God is saying to you particularly. But those that hear the word of God, the Bible says, are the ones sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. If you pick that same scripture from Luke, or you pick it from Matthew, said they are the ones that heard the word of God, they receive it. They were receptive. Then they persevere with it. That means they did not just hear and dump. They continue to meditate on it. They continue to chew it. They continue to act on it until it produced results in their lives. And it produced not just one grain, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. My dear brother, I want to say that if you will give attention to the word of God you hear, and you will meditate on it, you will keep it, you give it a measure of thought and study, the measure that it will measure back to you will be wonderful. I have known that each time the word of God comes to my life and I've obeyed it, the result I have got far, far surpasses what I thought I spent time on. The result that it will bring to your life, you will eat and eat and eat and it will never finish. Even when storms of life come, they are meeting you standing strong because the word of God has formed and formulated your band and your basis. Now, let's look at what that scripture has to say to us about Luke 9:26. Let's ask Natalie to read Luke 9:26. And let's ask Priscilla to read 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 to 14. And our brother Clarence, Luke 5, 4 to 6. Luke 5, 4 to 6.
Luke 9:26.
Yes.
For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes. When he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.
Please take note of that. Whosoever would be ashamed of me and of my word. One of the other things that does not allow somebody to profit from the word of God is not to be, is to be ashamed of it. Is to treat it as if it's something that is not worthy of holding tightly. Sometimes God has spoken to you. You know that this is the word of God. But when you meet colleagues, they ridicule it. They make it appear as if it's old-fashioned. Or they make you appear as if you are being indoctrinated. But I want to say to you that there's no man in life that has not been indoctrinated. Even those that are saying, no. They are being indoctrinated by something else. Sometimes it's the television that indoctrinates them. Sometimes it's one young man that they made their role model that they say is. How much more if the word of God were to indoctrinate me? If I were indoctrinated by the word of God, that's great. That's great. I'll be wise for it. And so I want you to know that if you are going to benefit from the word of God, as to face the storms of life and the wind, the storms, the rains that will come, and you will still stand strong and you still stand very, very fruitful and faithful, then the word of God is not something to be ashamed of. The word of God is something to hold as a treasure and to be proud of it. It's not the word of a man, it's the word of the living God. Is the word that has brought the entire world into existence. That word, if you keep it in your heart, it will preserve you, it will establish you. Now we're reading 2 Kings 5, 10 to 14.
2 Kings 5, 10 to 14 says, 2 Kings 5, 10 to 14 says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Mm. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
That's good. Now you see the challenge we are raising here. Naaman had come. He had great ideas of how they are going to heal him. He has gone from one hospital to another. He has gone from one place to another. Sponsorship was not his problem because he was a great man in the army of Syria. But what he needs that would turn and become his miracle was simple obedience to simple word of God. He said, why? Well, no, that is too simple. And what did they tell him to go and do? Wash and be clean. Go and wash 7 times and be clean. That is not ambiguous. It is not complicated. Do I want to say to you that the word of God we hear is not complicated? The word of God that God sends to you is simple enough if we just obey. Some of you are doing things that are so elaborate, so sophisticated, so dangerous, and yet simple word of God, you will not obey. I see young people, going on adventure, where they will venture their life into confusion. What they are doing is more tedious than simply to obey the word of God. But he said, they don't have the heart of obedience in them. That's why they are rushing to perish. Now, I want to put it to you this day again, that the word of God that will make your life stand the storm of life is not complicated, it's not sophisticated. Actually, you don't need to read Greek to understand the word of God. You don't need to learn Aramaic or Hebrew before the word of God can come to you. The word is near your mouth, the word which we preach. If you believe it in your heart, if you receive it, if you keep it in, the man went and did as he was told. He just dipped himself in the water, River Jordan, 7 times. By the time he finished, all his body was made whole. Can I request all of you listening to me today, obey the word of God, then you'll be wise for it. No matter how simple it is, go and do what it tells you to do. When Jesus told the disciples, go and fetch water into these pots. These are pots that have been left there for years. And people are saying, we need wine. What's the connection between water and wine? But Jesus said, you go and fetch water and fill these pots. Once they did, the next thing he said, fetch from the water you have drawn. Go and give it to the governor. He had not said anything. He did not shake his head. He did not touch the water. He simply said, fetch it, go and give. And as they were going, as they handed it over, the man tasted it and said, wow, this is a sweet and beautiful wine. Where have you kept the good wine until now? Simple obedience. Doing what God tells you to do is sufficient to give you the wisdom, sufficient for you to give you the victory that you will ever need in life. Now, Luke 5, 4 to 6 is the last thing we want to talk about practically at this point. Before, I think we are going to stop our discussion on this note for today and see how we can go from here when next we come. Yes?
Yes, sir. Luke 5, 4 to 6 says, Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets break.
Thank you very much. They have been toiling and toiling and toiling and toiling all night. And when Jesus came and said, can you please let me sit in your boat for a little while? And as Peter agreed, when Jesus finished speaking, he turned to Peter and said, launch your net into the deep. The man said, look, sir, we have been here all night. We have been doing everything. We are fishermen and we know what to do. There's no fish in this lake today. But nevertheless, at your word, all those that will build their lives against storms of life, they must be willing to put nevertheless upon every word that God speaks. They must be willing to put nevertheless upon their experience, upon their past experiences and past difficulties. Because God, when he gives a word, is willing to cause his word to create, to bring forth into existence those things that be not as though they were. So when they said, nevertheless, at your word, we will lay down the net. And when they had done this, the Bible said they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Now we stop at this point. Let's go now quickly and take the summary. Hey, Brother Clarence, you are the one to pick that summary for us at this point.
Yes, sir. The lack of concentration of our attention on God's instructions and little or no meditation on God's word that we hear hinders the word from taking root in our hearts. And once it has no root, it also bears no fruit. At other times, thinking much over our personal cares and worries in life is the reason for our foolishness. Even when the word of God that will handle such problems comes to us, It is immediately choked by our worries and rendered unfruitful. Consequently, we do nothing with it. Thank you, brother. But this is hitting my heart pretty hard. Sometimes it is the deceit of our riches, of past experience, of how to handle such problems. Riches of men and material in whom we trust to help solve the problem that make us foolish people. Sometimes the simplicity of the instructions and solution to our problem given by God's word is the base for our disregard. Such instruction as it almost happened to Naaman and Peter. It may also be because of the seemly shame and reproach that we may likely face in the midst of men as we take steps to obey. There could also be many other reasons why we often act foolishly in response to God's word. As for you, why do you do so? And what did you gain from such foolish response in past times? He who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Clarence. As we stop, we'll stop this so that we can get out. Since we are going to come back to finish this chapter in the next week by the grace of God. But the issues that we have raised are very critical here. When we talk about not giving attention on God's instruction, and you are not giving space, or you only have very little or no meditation on what God says to you, it hinders the word of God from taking root in your heart. So when the storms of life come, there's nothing in you that can withstand it. And if the word of God has no root, it cannot bear fruit. It cannot produce. Sometimes, what does not allow the word of God to have its full effect in your life is the fact that you are thinking so much about your personal problem, personal worries in life, and that's why you make yourself now foolish. You think that worry will help you. The Bible says, how many of you, by taking thought, have been able to add one cubit to your stature? Simple obedience to the word of God will have made you a wise man. And so as we conclude now, I want you to ask yourself, what will make me foolish? What will make me to fall into the category of those who hear the word of God and does not do them? Is it shame? Is it because the word of God that I'm hearing looks so simple? Simple, but it's not simplistic. Simple, not sophisticated. It's simple, but profound. And if you will only give attention and say, Lord, whatever I hear you say, I want to obey. I want to obey. Your life is being built. I'm sure when I come next, and we are going to conclude, is for you to understand that the foundation that you are going to lay for the future is as you follow the word of God. And brothers and sisters, as we are drawing conclusions, what are the other things that will not allow you to allow the word of God? Some of you thought that you are rich in your past experience. And I tell you that your experience is just a little thing of a past. You don't know what the future lies on. You don't know what God is holding out for you. Your best is to receive the word of God and let it mix the faith in your heart, so that what God is setting you on is the provision to handle the future for you. Is the provision to handle issues that will come on your way here and there. My prayer for you is that the simplicity of these instructions will not make you take it for granted. The fact that you see me speaking gently and we are reading scriptures together and we are doing a Bible study. You know, one of the things I want you to learn as a result of this series we have done is your own commitment to Bible study. I know you go to places where the man of God just shouts and yell at you and say, yeah, take it, it's yours, hallelujah. He can make you shout 21 hallelujahs in 5 minutes. And there's nothing else is dropping on your heart. Sometimes it's just half of a Bible verse that they are shouting. You have not read your word. You have not read the word of God. You have nothing enough to hold you when the storms of life come. I want to charge you again today that don't let the word of God, because it looks simple, because it looks unsophisticated, don't let it pass you away. That's the profound wisdom of God that will make you wise. The question that we ask finally, as for you, what have you gained from foolish responses in time past? What have you gained? What will you say is your benefit when you did not respond to the word of God? The Bible said, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck, he will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We'll stop at this point for today. When we come next, we'll now deal with how can we ensure that we are wise and obedient each time we hear God speak to us. We will deal with that as we come back next week. Would you like to bow your head as we pray together? The first thing I want you to talk to God about is there's an open invitation and say, whosoever heareth these things of mine. God has invited you to come and tap into the source of grace, the source of power, the source of wisdom by hearing him. Jesus said, blessed are you that hear what you hear, that see what you see, that even prophets and righteous men of old, they longed for this, but it was not given to them. The fact that God has given me an opportunity to study the word of God, to listen to Jesus, speak to our lives, is a privilege, and we dare not take it for granted. We would like to pray and say, Lord, I want you to help me. I want you to show me your mercy. I want to obey. I want to be part of those who are building their lives upon the rock. I want to be part of those who listen to the word and obey it. I want to be one of those who are preparing for a future that can withstand storms of life and still be victorious. Jesus is standing again and said, if you hear these things of mine, you do them, I would liken you to a wise man. What will you do with Jesus today? What will you do with his word that is coming to you? What will you do with simple instruction he has brought to you? Will you give attention to it? Will you meditate on it? Will you give it a measure of thought and study so that it can release virtue, it can release knowledge, can release grace, it can release capacity into your life for the days ahead? Please call on God right now. Perhaps even though we are just about the tail end of our study, you have just joined this Bible study. I would like to say, you are still not late, because he said, whosoever hear these things of mine, even today what you are hearing, if you will obey the Lord Jesus, if you say, Lord, I will take you by your word, I will no longer procrastinate my obedience to whatever you are saying, you will still be a wise person. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for our brothers and sisters that you have again brought to this Bible study. And you are saying, this is the way to be wise. This is the way to be for the future. This is the way to ensure that storms does not uproot you in life. Lord, we ask that you please help us to be obedient. Help us to receive your word with a receptive heart. Let your word not to be falling on the stony ground, on the thorny areas where things are choked, not on the roadside. Lord, cause your word to mix with our faith. Let it be on the good soil so that we can produce results in 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Thank you. And thank you for those who are making one decision or the other today. Please help them to stand strong, to walk in your will. Thank you for these many, many months that we have studied this book. I just pray, God, that this word that we have heard severally will continue to produce in us, transforming us from one degree of glory to another. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.
This has been Living Faith. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659. 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingfaith.org or visit our website at www.livingfaith.org.